Save on O'Reilly Brake Parts Cleaner. Get two cans of O'Reilly Brake Parts Cleaner for just $8. Valid in-store only at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome to Cosmic Channels. Open minds on cosmic lines. To call in to future episodes of Cosmic Channels, follow Cosmic Channels on YouTube and Twitch and tune in live Sundays at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. The number is 1-833-703-0424. The Cosmic Channels are open.
I'm Fjord.
I am Zalarius.
I'm Dan.
Yeah, and I'm Andrew Cleve the Lebanese.
And if you want to give us a call now to open lines, we will take all your stories. 1-833-703-0424. Your call, whatever you want to talk about tonight on Cosmic Channels.
Open lines. I think we have a caller on the line right now. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
What's up, Zale? How's it going, man?
Good. We're all good.
What's
here,
going
man.
On?
Who are we talking to?
What's up? This is Colt Carter, down South Louisiana.
South Louisiana, woo! Right on.
It's a fellow Southern gentleman. It's nice to hear someone distinguished such as myself on this show, man. Once in a while.
Braden, your Rougarou episode was amazing. We love it down here.
That's fun.
What's up, Dan? How's it going, Dan?
I'm doing all right. Having a good time here right now. Try to keep it the fucking
good.
Together.
I want to talk to my boy.
Keeping together, yeah.
I want to talk to my boy, Andrew, real quick. Man, let me tell you, bro, you are not alone. Me and you just are like, I am the biggest chicken in the world.
Right on, man. Good. Yeah. Not alone. I like it.
I do declare that's no surprise.
I got a quick story for y'all tonight. This happened about 10 years ago. Me and my wife, we was in this house that she was renting out, and she was actually putting some Legos together for the kids. And I was laying on the couch. She was putting them together on the floor. The kids were in the back room. And we both heard something in the house say her name. It said Jenna, and it whispered. And I jumped up, and I was like, what was that? And the kids come running in the room. So I took it to the kitchen, and I was like, baby, did you hear what I heard? She was like, somebody said my name. I was like, just had chills everywhere because it confirmed what I heard, you know?
Yeah.
Fuck. It was crazy. It's pretty short story, but man, I have never had nothing happen to me. And Andrew, we actually moved out of the house. That's how scary
yes.
it was.
Yes. There we go. Now we're talking. That's an appropriate
reaction
to that story.
We actually moved out because we were, yes, man, we were so scared, my dude. Oh my God, we were so scared. So I just wanted to give y'all a big thumbs up, man. I love y'all channel. Y'all doing a great job. Appreciate it, bro.
Hey, thanks, man. We appreciate you. Thanks for the call.
And have yourself
all right.
See you an back. Excellent day.
You too, Brad. Later.
Bye.
Take it easy, man. Now listen, that is a
appropriate,
justified and appropriate reaction to that situation.
Yeah,
there's literally nothing wrong with that.
How could you feel comfortable in your home again after that?
That's the first person who's called in and be like, this happened to me, this was terrifying, and we fucking moved. We're out.
Yeah, straight up. Like
this guy's smart.
Hey. Quick and dirty. I like
quick and
it.
Dirty.
He's like, listen, I heard a voice. I was like, I didn't investigate it anymore. I fucking moved out. That was the end of story.
I don't care what it
but
was.
But if everybody did that, we wouldn't have any horror movies.
That's true.
Hey, it's true.
All right.
Listen, we got to keep our realtors employed. That's fine. We're good. Sell that shit.
You need home sales.
Okay, you know what though? If you were the only person that heard it, maybe you could be like, maybe I'm crazy. The whole family heard it. That is more than enough.
That's enough.
That's enough.
All right, let's move on to another caller. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hi there. My name is Henry. I'm from Northern California, Fortuna to be exact. So right in the heart of the Redwoods.
Fortuna, nice.
And I'm calling to take advantage of that open line. So yeah. I was wondering, I've got a lot of stories, and both my house is pretty paranormally activated, the family house. And I've also had a lot of UFO type encounters. So do you guys have a preference on paranormal or UFO?
Give us your favorite.
This is what we want to hear. The story that pops to the forefront of your mind, whether it be UFO or paranormally activated, the story that pops to the forefront of your mind is the one we want right now.
Dealer's choice. Lay it on
okay,
us.
Okay. Yep. I'll go ahead and go with the UFO one. So
perfect.
This is probably my earliest UFO encounter. I was about 8 or 9, and I have a little more credibility to it because it wasn't just me that witnessed it. It was my entire family and a bunch of people in my neighborhood. So it's a dark night. I believe it was springtime, so it was probably around 9 o'clock at night. And me and my two older sisters and my mom were in our backyard, and we see this red-ish light kind of coming over the horizon. From the north and moving towards our neighborhood. And we watch as it gets closer and closer, and it's not going super fast. And we follow it from the back of our house to the front of our house. And we kind of are getting a better view of it, the four of us. And we realize it's not super high off the ground either, maybe 50, 60 feet tops. And we also notice that we're not the only ones that are checking it out. So our neighbors next door noticed it and are kind of scratching their heads, but we write it off. And me and my sister, the older sister I have, end up deciding to follow it down the street. And our house is kind of up above the valley area. So you climb a hill, then you go down a little, and then you climb a hill again, and you're at our house. So we had followed it down the street, down to that bottom of the first hill, and then we got up to the crest before you got above the main valley of the city we live in. And it was seemingly like egg-shaped, and it was metallic too. So we got to an intersection at the top of this crest overlooking the valley, and we were under a streetlight, and we watched as this object, which is like maybe 50 feet off the ground tops, like we can still very clearly see it, and it's just coasting at like maybe 5 miles an hour. So, you know, 8-9 year old me and my 14-15 year old sister were having no problems keeping up with it, but we were able to get to the top of that hill in time for it to cross over us. And in the light of the street light, we could see some definition on it, and it was maybe, you know, 6 feet wide and like 5 feet tall. So it was very egg-shaped and metallic looking. And it had a slow red pulse to it. So like, you know, almost like you'd see on an airplane flying way up in the sky, you know, the lights they have on the wings, just a slow in and out red light.
Yep.
But it stayed at the same elevation the entire time from when we spotted it from behind the house all the way to the top of that crest. And that little crest above the valley was higher than our house, so we were even closer to it at that point. And, you know, that was probably my earliest UFO encounter, and it just, you know, coasted past us and continued on going. And to this day, you know, I question my memory a little bit, but my sisters and my mom still hold true to that encounter and, you know, verify my claims, because I've held on to that all these years, and it just totally, you know, trips me out every time. But not too much, because I've had my own fair share of encounters besides that too.
Right. Now, what do you think it was, like, looking back and thinking about it?
So I'm pretty involved in aerospace stuff nowadays. I mean, that's what I'm working towards my degree on. And I was really involved for the last like 7 or 8 years in drones. And that was like right when they were really coming to the mainstream hobbyist side of things. So I did, you know, the whole racing drone scene. I had a company revolving around that. So I was pretty deep in that scene, on the forefront of coming out with new technology and, you know, inventing some stuff myself and bringing that to the market. And I was like, well, this, it made absolutely no noise. there were no sort of lines or tethers to it, so that kind of writes off, you know, weather balloon. And it obviously couldn't have been a drone because this was, you know, probably 2008 when this happened. So it was definitely before, you know, even hobbyist stuff was getting available for like quadcopters and things like that. Right. So there was nothing that comes to mind that could mimic that sort of flight pattern, be absolutely silent, and keep such a steady elevation as it traveled across. So it just totally boggles me, because it's like, well, it couldn't have been a weather balloon, because it's like, well, there, you can't see anything, and you'd see the balloon, and right. It definitely wouldn't be keeping such a stable elevation. And also, why would it be like super solid looking and metallic? Like, I could see seams on the thing, and, you know, going back, sure, my memory's probably degraded a bit on the super fine details, but, you know, what rings true is like, okay, metal plating, rivets, or whatever, with a red, one or two red lights on it that were pulsing in and out. So I'm kind of at a loss, and that's why I chalk it up to, you know, totally UFO, unidentified. I can't come up with any logical conclusion as to what it could be.
Well, and you know what? I'm not one to, like, quickly, like, when you say the flashing red light, like, that is a lot of, like, aircraft. But I'm not one mm-hmm. to quickly just chalk that up. Well, it must be an airplane if it had the flashing red lights. I'm like, if there's a hyper-intelligent alien civilization that comes and watches mm-hmm. us and sees that we have planes in the air that flash red lights, like, what better camouflage than to have a flashing red light as
put
well?
Put them up, yeah.
Totally, totally.
Because it's funny you say that, too, because, like, where I'm at, the last couple nights, actually, we've seen these twin, I'm going to say for just twin lights going very close together in the sky. And then as they turn, they have a flashing red light, which you would seemingly think airplane.
Yeah. But aircraft.
Every single aircraft, night where I'm yeah. with people, I'm like hanging out with a bunch of people who are like kind of like non-believers. And I'm like, well, it's a little strange that there's no sound. They're not helicopters. I don't hear planes. They're pretty low. And they just travel together in unison, like over top of like Quadra Island, a couple islands off in the Georgia Strait. It's interesting. But like I said, I was telling them, I was like, well, maybe it is UFO. Maybe they're just flashing red lights because we're used to seeing them.
Or maybe it's Manitoba's yeah. finest.
Charlie Red Star.
Charlie Red Star. Yeah,
fucking Charlie Red Star huh? coming back.
Out for a beer run.
There you go.
23 Chinook helicopters.
yeah. Awesome. And that's that. I mean, if that story stuck with you that long, I mean, obviously it's made an impact, and it's hard to tell exactly what it is, but that's a cool one.
Yeah, for sure. And I've got plenty of other stories too, so I'll definitely be calling in another time.
Hell yeah. Thank you, Henry.
Yeah, please do.
Awesome.
Bye back.
Thanks so much, you guys. Love the Facebook group. Love ATT. I'm going to join the Patreon soon. Keep on rocking.
You're the man.
Cheers,
on,
buddy.
Man. Appreciate it. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye.
Cool. I like when those stories, like, they stick with you for so long. You're like, oh, it just seems so weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, anytime there's light. Yeah, I like that, though. Like, okay, like, yeah, our planes have red and green lights. Is it red and green or red and white on the tips? Or red, green, and white on the rear?
I'm pretty sure it's red and green, but...
Because I know a cowboy pilot explained to us that one time. But either way, like, yeah, we have these universal, like, light laws for aircraft, and if you're a UFO, you're like, yeah, they have these on the aircraft. Let's just put them on.
We should flash this to look inconspicuous.
Yeah, so we look like, oh, that's a plane for sure.
Why not? So you have a legit. The last two nights, so I've seen these twin craft.
You have a hyper-intelligent alien civilization that has come to Earth. They have managed to master the traveling of the vast, incalculable distances between stars. And so they're going to come here and they're going to look at us for some reason. And they're going to be like, you know what? Red and green lights. That's good. They're not just going to like make their ship invisible. They're not going to, they could just be a cloud. Like they could just project a cloud around them. Why would they even go to the trouble?
What if they can't? What if they can't project a cloud and they have to do the green light camouflage?
Why would they have to do, then they would have to design their ships to like emit certain different types of light. So that's assuming that they could see the same light spectrum that we can.
Let's assume.
How would you? What if their star is completely different? All I know, so then their eyes would be completely different.
All I know is that the last couple nights I've seen these twin lights in the sky flying around with no noise, no helicopter noise, no plane noise, not an airport in sight. Like, where they're flying, there's no airports. They're flying pretty low, heading over Quadra Island. They're tailing each other with just a single flashing red light. There's absolutely no sound coming off them.
I guess it would depend how high and how far, but yeah, either way. Let's bring in another caller, though. The lines are flowing. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Rebecca, and I'm calling from Northern Ontario.
Awesome. Thanks for the call, Rebecca.
Fellow Canadian.
Yep.
So, yeah, I've been listening to you guys for a while. I think I found ATB whenever you guys posted, like, your third or fourth episode.
Wow. And long time.
I've been following ever since.
Appreciate it.
OGP.
Yep.
I have a little bit of a ghost story for you guys.
Perfect. Let's hear it.
Okay, so I'll give you guys a little bit of backstory. I guess it starts with, like, my grandfather, who was a musician back in the day in Northern Ontario in the 50s, and he'd drive cabs during the day, and then he would play guitar and banjo in different bands at a bunch of different bars at night.
Awesome.
And this goes along with the story. So over the course of his lifetime, he really loved music, and people would give him knickknacks to kind of remind him of the good old days when he could, like, bar hop and play music. So I remember when I was a teenager, somebody in the family gave him this little plastic banjo magnet that when you strummed the strings of it, it would play the dueling banjo song, and it would always, it lived forever on the fridge in his house.
Awesome.
And, like, I remember it was always a really long drive to go visit them. It was like 8 hours. And whenever we'd get there after the 8 hours, everyone would just kind of, like, ritualistically, like, just touch the banjo, and it made everyone laugh, and it was funny. And the really weird thing is that when he died, we traveled up there, and this stupid little toy had stopped working. But 2 months before, when my Nana had passed away, it was still working. So we just chalked it up to, like, batteries, whatever, it doesn't matter. And so, like, we were all trying to get it to work, and it just wouldn't. So we kind of went on with planning the funeral and, like, doing all the stuff that you kind of have to with that. And that leads me into, like, a little bit of other backstory that'll make everything make sense. But when I met my husband, we met in a kind of funny way, in that we met at the engagement party for my brother, who was, it turns out, like, we met, and then it kind of turned out that my brother was marrying his sister, and we became
random
friends. Yeah. So, like, yeah, we tried being friends and, like, not doing anything about it for a really long time because it, like, weirded us out a little. But we're not related at all.
No, that's fine.
But anyway, so that ties in that we were all kind of, like, sitting around the night of my grandfather's funeral. And we were kind of, like, we weren't engaged at the time. We were just kind of, like, talking about it. And we decided to, like, pull out a chart and figure out, like, exactly how related we would all be, because we thought it would be funny. And as soon as my sister said the words, like, wait, so you and, like, your brother, like, our brother would be, like, brother and sister, but also, like, brother-in-law and sister-in-law and like your kids would be double cousins. As soon as that happened, that stupid banjo toy went off on the fridge.
Weird.
And that's the story of how my grand... Yeah, exactly. And that's the story of how my grandfather got the last laugh and, like, roasted me from beyond the grave.
Yeah, that's phenomenal.
Roasted from beyond the grave. That's great.
Yeah.
So he was in tune with the whole situation. He's like, I'll get one last joke in here.
Exactly. And, like, it's so, yeah. Because he died of Alzheimer's, so he wasn't able to, like, be part of anything for a long time. So right. It was kind of, like, funny. I mean, it was either this, like, crazy coincidence where this stupid toy just, like, went off at that time after, like, 2 days of nobody, like, touching it, and it finally decided to go off at that exact moment, or, like, what we prefer to think of is Grandpa just being snappy.
Grandpa having a laugh.
Having a laugh.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, that's, I mean, if he is having a laugh from beyond the grave, I mean, he's a comedian for sure.
Exactly. Yeah, he was a goofy guy. So, I don't know, not a scary ghost story this time, but I was like, oh, great, he's here.
Someone was watching.
Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, well, hey, we appreciate the call. That's awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Have a good night.
Cheers. Have a good one.
Take care.
Guys can just go through the whole song.
They're not related.
Not related. It's fine.
Double cousins.
Double cousins.
I'm sure
banjos
that
Joe's and double cousins.
Hey, kind of nothing wrong with double cousins. Everyone knows.
I'm sure that happens more often than you think.
Hey, we've all been there. We've all been there. Nothing wrong with double cousins.
Hey. Another caller. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Oh fuck.
Hello, it's Sheila from Montreal, Quebec.
From Montreal, woo! Quebec. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I'm the one that creeped you out with the shadow people story. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what was her name again? What was it?
Sheila.
Sheila, yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay, awesome. So I'm calling. I'm sorry, there's this weird time delay. Sorry, say that again.
I said, what's going on tonight?
Oh, not much. I'm calling in because of the last episode that you guys had on NDEs and your guest with Snow Forest. Basically her personal experience that she believed to be the afterlife and her visual description of it.
Sure.
So what happened was, as a kid, I had a memory. Like, what happened was I listened to your episode, and then I thought, after hearing all that, my question was, well, what if you had those same memories like I do, but you had them formed before you were born?
Oh,
so,
did you message on Discord?
Yes, that's right. I decided to stay up and call in.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's like a reverse NDE.
No, just before you continue your story, very quickly, I just want to say what she's referring to is case file 180 on our other show, Alien Theorist Theorizing, not the last episode of Cosmic Channels. Continue your story.
Sorry, that's right, yeah. So as a kid, I had a memory that I didn't understand. And as I grew older, I started to question it more and more. And I had mentioned it to my sister around the age of 7, but she was just as confused by it. So I kind of stopped contemplating it. But around the age of 14, I was watching something on television that triggered that same memory. And I decided to go ask my mother about it. So she was in the kitchen cooking, and I took a seat at the kitchen table and asked her if I could ask her questions about this memory. So essentially, I'll describe the memory first. So I first remember crossing through a bright light, or what felt like multiple bright lights that were super shiny, like as if you were reflecting like sunlight off mirrors or something. And it was just pure joy wherever it was that place was. And as I continued like floating forward, I had entered into a dark space, and that through the dark space, I was able to see another light. And I remember feeling really excited. And then suddenly I was floating above a taxi cab, and it was traveling down the street. And I was like, I was able to see 360 degrees simultaneously, and I could see my mother inside the cab. I could also see it outside the cab, above it, behind it, just like in every direction. And then the cab slowed down, and I waited for her to exit the cab. And as she walked down the street, I remember there was a fence on her right, and I was floating alongside her to the left, like slightly above her head. And she went to the door of that fence and went through it and made her way up to the path to the hospital. And next, I remember seeing her white hospital room. I was up to the ceiling looking down on her and the entire room, and she was under the cover in her bed. There was a clock on the wall to her right with the side table below and a cup and a pitcher. And then there was a window to her left, and the door, like the entrance to her room, was on her right. And I remember a nurse coming in, and she went to my mother's left hand to pick it up to check, I guess, her pulse. And then she was asking if she was comfortable and needed any pillows. And then shortly after, a male doctor came in with a clipboard and a stethoscope. And he was tall. I think it was like 6 feet. He had a mustache and short hair. And from where I was hovering, I knew that I was like consciously aware that the darkness was still behind me, and I was waiting to come through it. Like, for that lack of a better word, I would refer to it like a portal. And sure. After the doctor and the nurse had stepped out, I was still watching my mother for a while. And she was laying there with her eyes closed. She was rubbing, like, basically the baby bump. And simultaneously, I was able to look down the hall of the hospital room, and I was watching the doctor walk away. I was looking outside the window at the blue sky, being, like, really happy that it was, like, a cloudless sky. And after a while, I could feel the darkness fading. And I felt this pull towards my mother, and that was the last that I remember. And she was pregnant with me, obviously, at the time, and she was there to have the delivery. So after I was done describing this memory to my mother, she turned off all the burners on her stove, and she came over and sat down with me at the table, and she just kind of stared at me blankly, and she asked how I could possibly know anything, to know all about what had occurred. And after freaking out for a bit, she explained that no one had ever accompanied her to the hospital, and that my three siblings at the time were with my father at home, and she had never essentially had need to describe any of that to anyone. And she kind of remarked on the fence that I'd mentioned that was on her right side that I had described that was outside the hospital. She said that was removed 2 years after it was born. And she said that doctor she had that day wasn't her regular doctor. And she had kind of contemplated, like, oh, what if you were seeing through my eyes? But then we couldn't really explain away how it was I could see the top of the taxi cab. Anyway, so after about like 20 minutes or so, I was about to leave the room, but she wouldn't let me go. She was super shaken by the conversation. And she asked me to stay with her in the kitchen for a while to keep her company. She was just so freaked out.
Weird.
So essentially, it's just the opposite. Yeah.
So what you're saying is, like, you remember you as consciousness before entering, like, your current body, like before birth.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't assign it a value that way. Like, I don't really understand what happened.
Right.
Like I know in your discussion after, like in your wrap up comments on the subject, you guys, like Dan was mentioning how, you know, a lot of visual descriptions people put forth are based on, you know, their own cultural, like what they experience, obviously, inside of their own culture. So if you're Western culture, you have typical angelic whatnot type of descriptions. So, like, I understand all those things. So I'm not saying necessarily that, like the shining lights, like I wouldn't say, oh, that was an angelic experience. Like, I don't have any Western cultural references to assign to it. But then there's also this other aspect of, like, could it be dimethyltryptamine, like DMT, basically, that's being poured out into your system. But I mean, theoretically, was I already in my system coming out and witnessing everything happening? Or what, like, was I in my system inside of my mother's system? Do you know what I mean? Or was I outside coming in? I don't know. Like, I can't. Like, I'm not going to actually try to define that. I don't know.
But it seems like you're remembering a memory from pre-birth is what it feels like to you. You're not really sure not sure what it is or could be, but that's what you remember.
Exactly. Like, what compelled me to call was because her description of, like, how she described it being dark and then a light and then a brighter light. Like, I was like, oh, it's sort of what I saw, but in reverse.
Right.
It came from a light, went into the darkness with a different type of pinpoint of light and then entered in.
Right. Well, I mean, if, say, like, reincarnation and, like, the, you know, like, your soul is energy and it just transforms. I mean, I guess it would make, if you remember, like, remember after death, it would, I guess, make sense to, like, to start it over again. Just those stories seem to be a lot less common.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that the origin point and the exit point are exactly the same. right? Like that is the area that you go to or come from, essentially. Yeah. So that's my interpretation of it. Yeah.
Well, that's a really cool story. I don't really know what to say. I mean, that's just like that's something I've never really heard before. Like the reverse story of like leaving your body at death.
Well, what's interesting is I don't know if you guys were aware of Leslie Keene's work that she did for NDEs, her book on surviving death. But she had a documentary that just made its way to Netflix a little while ago. And it was in Canada, it was number 4 for a while. It should still be on Netflix. But she covers a couple of these subjects. And that's when I discovered that other people have had this experience as well. So it's not uncommon, but it's not, you know, it's not something most people, I guess, talk about.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. That's just a really cool topic. Look for more stories like that. That's cool. Are you saying, like, are you talking about that documentary, Surviving Death?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen a few of those episodes. I watched the NDE one, the mediums one, and I think there's like 8 or 9 episodes though. So I gotta continue through.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the book is far more compelling because there's so much more. You know, the scientific papers that are attached to it are pretty cool. But right. Yeah, I did. I actually helped her launch her book.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So like that's kind of how I got in touch with her. And yeah, so she's her work is pretty cool. Yeah, there's a lot of interesting people from around the world. So you do see a lot of cultural references, but at the same time, there is kind of an underlying theme where a similar description is, you know, there's a thread between all of them. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that's just a really cool story.
A fucking wild story. Yo.
Yeah, like, I don't know what to say about it.
All right, well, that's my story.
Awesome. Like, that's really cool. The reverse of the NDE, like the actual like reincarnation, I guess, is what you're kind of talking about.
Yeah, I just think it's funny though that I had the memory for so long, but for some weird reason, I never approached her about it. It took me like 14 years before I asked her. But I think it's because when you're younger, you don't know, you don't really know if it's a memory or like what you're really, you know, it could just be something from TV you saw that you think is a memory. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Cool story. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. Thanks, Beth. Take care.
Okay. Have Cheers. A great night.
That's fucking awesome. Bye.
It kind of reminds me of like when Snow was describing her out-of-body experience and when she made that decision to go back into her body. You know what I mean? Maybe that was the alternative, not deciding to go into your body and choosing another.
Choosing
you know
a different
what I mean?
Path.
Choosing the alternative. And then maybe True. That's and then maybe that's her some, starting as a baby.
Yeah, and right? Getting some memories.
Yeah, like that's, well, that was the first memory, right? Was choosing to go into that, whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
for that birth. But
yeah, I mean, that's a question I've always had about it is like, okay, is there a finite number, like of conscious beings, and like we just keep going back, or like we, because obviously like humanity's population keeps growing, so are more consciousness being born, or is it like consciousness transferred like from somewhere else, and like there's so many, only so many in the universe, or like that's another question I've always had, like where do they come from, if consciousness is separate from the mind and like mortality and it's like its own thing, do like more be are made as like that we like humanity ages, or are they just like being transferred from somewhere else? I don't know, but that's a cool story. We got another caller on the line. Let's bring them in. Hello, Cosmic
Open
Channels.
Lines are popping.
Hello.
Hey,
how's it going, gentlemen?
Good. You?
Oh, pretty good. This is Dan. I'm calling from Smithers, B.C.
Smithers. Yay! Right on. Not too far.
Yeah, I heard another guy call from here probably 3-4 weeks back.
Yep.
And I'm like, damn, another guy from Smithers? Like, what are the odds?
Yes.
Canada, the U.S., the whole world, Smithers,
small,
B.C.
Yeah, small city.
From Smithers.
Couple of people from Smithers.
A lot of open, like-minded people in Smithers.
Definitely. What was the topic tonight?
Open lines,
open
man.
Channels, baby. Whatever you
open
want.
Open channel. Well, me and my buddy just went to a little Bigfoot hunt last night.
Cool.
So we had this plan to go up to this backcountry ski cabin. It's this old fire lookout on top of a mountain. Just to give you a heads up, the story is pretty anticlimactic. Nothing really happens. But anyway, we trudged up there, and it's this really creepy road, and this guy has built this shoe house up this road. And he's got like Bigfoot signs all over the place, and it's this valley's got a really weird feel. So I always just want to go up there and hang out just in case. And I've seen tons of hilarious broken trees that are broken way up, and I, whatever. But
Bigfoot.
Anyway, so we hiked up there, smashed like 3 to 4 grams of mushrooms.
Nice.
Started listening to Bigfoot podcast. And then we scared the pants off ourselves. And basically, like, put all the furniture in front of the doors before bed. And so we pretty scared. Not quite a Bigfoot encounter, but a pretty fun time.
But a potential Bigfoot encounter. So you boarded up the doors just in case.
Oh, dude. It
was, you got it.
It was pretty funny. Yeah. It was this podcast. And then there's an upstairs and downstairs this cabin. And the downstairs, we named it the Rat Cave because there's just rats scurrying around down there, and we had to go down there to load the fire. And Buddy thought, like, oh man, I'm sitting down here by the fire. I'm like, dude, no. I was like, Bigfoot's gonna boot open that door and just go to town on you, buddy. I was like, I'm sleeping upstairs.
100%.
Yep.
That's what Bigfoots are known for, is booting indoors. It's for
and having their feet are so big.
And having their way with you.
Yeah.
Don't fuck around. Be safe.
Oh, dude, you want to fuck with Bigfoot? I mean, you never know. He's gonna show up to party. You know what's going to happen. He might be friendly. He might be rough. But anyways, we boarded up the doors. Managed to get to sleep eventually. My wife's looking at me laughing.
He might be friendly. He might give you a couple drinks first. And then, you know, then go to town.
Well,
butter
okay,
you up.
So this podcast we were listening to was, like, friggin' hilarious. So, I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't real, but this couple apparently talk to Sasquatches, and they're like painting this mental picture for you, and oh my god, we were dying. So in the story, there this spaceship pulls up, and the guy's narrating the story's like, yeah, and the door opened up, and inside there was a gray alien, and behind him was a Sasquatch. Oh my god, we just about died. We love the door. It was awesome. It was a fun night. Anyways, I actually do have a story that's kind of cool. So I was experimenting with meditation like in my early 20s. And I'm just a regular guy. Like, I work in the oil field. I do bush jobs. I don't really believe in any of that. But lots of people, I was in Vancouver at the time, and I don't know, people are doing yoga and meditating. Anyways, it's in between jobs and all the time in the world. So, okay, I'm going to give this meditation thing a shot. So I started practicing kind of like every day for a few weeks. And then I was on this road trip, and I was in the Kootenays, tried to meet up with a buddy, didn't pan out. So I ended up sleeping in my car, and I'm like, okay, that's cool. I'm just going to try and fall asleep, and I'm going to meditate myself to sleep. And then, like, no word of a lie, like, I don't know, something happened. I started to feel weird vibrations, and I went somewhere. And yeah, it was like I was in a courtyard looking around at random people, and they were just kind of, I don't know, in their world, I guess, staring back at me. And I was just like, holy crap. And then I kind of snapped out of it and then come back too. And then I was like, what the hell was that? And since that experience, like, I don't know. It's not like I've had tons since. It takes like a lot of concentration to get into these states of mind. But one really interesting thing is that you guys are always talking about like the multi-universe theory and stuff. And so I had this one meditation. I was just laying on the couch. And you guys have obviously heard of astral travel.
Yep.
People share stories about it on here lots. So anyway, I actually did leave my body. And then in these astral traveling kind of guidebooks that you buy, and there's all these techniques you can do, and they say, like, get your bearing when you leave your body, try and see, okay, are you in your bedroom, and just try and identify stuff. So I was trying to do that, and anyways, I looked back at myself, and it was me lying on the couch in my living room, same couch, but like I went bald when I was like 20. And this guy on the couch was me, but I had, like, all kinds of hair. And I also had, like, tattoos, and I don't have any tattoos. So it was just, like, the weirdest thing. So I'm looking back at this guy who's me, but it's, like, me in a different reality. I just thought that was interesting because it almost kind of has, like, it almost prove, doesn't prove, but when you're talking about like the mini universe theory, like was I somehow, did I jump to a different universe and I'm looking in a different version of myself? Anyways, I just thought that was kind of, that was a cool experience.
Yeah, like that, like the multiverse theory of like any possible outcome is happening simultaneously in another universe or a different timeline or whatever.
Exactly. Like they say, like every time you make a choice, like your life branches off.
It could split. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, you're the Kwisatz Haderach.
Infinite
fucking
numbers.
Dune. You're Paul Atreides. You have prescience. You can see all the possibilities in one and then perhaps pick out the most beneficial for yourself. Maybe if you cultivate that meditation, maybe you should go back and revisit it. That's what I would think. And perhaps you can see the other choices that are laid out before you and perhaps pick the most beneficial one for you.
Totally. Well, like, I've tried to get to these states since then. And, like, at the time when I was doing that, I think I was off work for a few months. And I was young. I didn't really have much to do. I'd bike around Vancouver, get stoned, drink coffee, read books, meditate. But since then, you know, I've been working and I got kids now. And it's really hard. Like, you gotta to get into these states if you're not, like, trained.
Right.
It takes hours to get there. You can do it. It's very achievable, but you got to dedicate hours to just concentrating. But it does happen if you just do it.
For sure. Yeah.
It would seem that meditation would be really difficult. I mean, with a family and stuff, since, I mean, probably those who are seasoned in meditation techniques or those people who visit these other things, it's like, it's about letting go of your connections on earth. It's about completely disassociating yourself with the secular world. So how could you do that? I mean, I imagine it would be pretty difficult for all the responsibilities that you feel that you have when all the connections that you have, good connections, I'm not saying that they're bad, but
you have them.
You would have with a family and, you know, and having to support them and all of that stuff. I mean, it would be difficult, but like you said, it's possible and it's probably just a little bit more difficult, but people can do it.
You almost have to like book a weekend away. Like away, like get 3 or 4 days away.
Have you guys heard of Vipassana? I don't know if that's how you say it. It's this meditation retreat. There's one in Merritt. It's like a Buddhist meditation retreat. And so you basically do silent meditation for like 10 days. And they feed you and it's just free. You sign up and you can just go do this thing. And it just gives you an environment where you can, try and actually get some work done. So I did do that. And I felt it hard because you're in a room like full of people. And it's hard to like calm your thoughts in that environment.
Yeah, like you're in a strange place. It's going to take you a while to like get accustomed to new surroundings. And you're never going to be as relaxed as you could be somewhere where you're familiar.
It's interesting though. Like you're kind of rooming with, I was rooming like with 3 other guys. But it's awkward for the first day, but then because you know you can't talk, it's actually pretty cool and actually super peaceful. And at nights, it was cool. We'd go outside and you could kind of walk around. They had an area and it's just pitch black. It's like in between Merritt and Hope, like on the Coquihalla.
Okay.
And it's cool out there, man. Just pitch black. You can see amazing stars. And then on the last day, they open it up and so you can talk to all the people at the retreat for the last day. And it's a cool experience. You just tell your stories about how it went for you. And then of course, like anyone who goes to do that is like an interesting person and fun to talk to. So yeah, it was a cool experience.
Yeah, definitely. Anytime you're like with like-minded people, regardless of what it is, it's for music or meditation or like any type of art or just like conferences of anything, really. It's fun to be around like people
so
like that.
So fun. Being like AlienCon was so fun because you're around so many like-minded people that are into the same things. Like it's just any of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm jealous of your guys' alien excursions. They sound like a blast.
We have a good time.
Come on the next one, man.
They'll be back. They're coming back soon, hopefully.
Oh, man, if you guys ever do a meetup in Kelowna or anything, I'm there. My family... My mom and her partner have a house in Lake Country.
Nice.
So we end up down there like every summer. We'll be down there for May long, I think, in the Shuswap in Lake Country.
Yeah, I imagine this year international travel might be a challenge from Canada, but having some type of meetup or some type of party, ATT party in Kelowna or Vancouver or somewhere local.
ATT Campo.
Boom. We're gonna look into it for sure.
Be super fun. Anyways, I won't hold your line anymore, guys. Good to talk to you.
Hey, thanks for the call.
Okay, take care.
Bye. Have a good night. Bye. Yeah, it's just cool. Like anytime you're in an environment with like-minded people, regardless of what like the topic is or like the direction, it's fun. Like,
And to be honest, we're you know, possibly a year, possibly 2 years away from having a legit area to have a ATT camp out.
And actually like family-owned area where we can do it for
reasonable. Have a legit camp out.
Should be fun.
My parents just got title on it, so.
That's awesome.
It has begun.
ATT camp out. Stand by.
I haven't told them they're hosting the ATT camp out.
We'll work on
that.
They're
probably knowing now if that happens. I think they're listening now, so they know now.
They know now. We'll ask permission
2023.
After. All right, another caller. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hey, this is Carmelo from Florida.
Carmelo from Florida. Ooh. Welcome back to the show.
How's it going, guys?
Good. What do you got for us tonight?
It's an open line, right?
Yep. Yeah, yep. Any topic.
Okay, so I have a ghost story, kind of. It's not all that scary, but it's pretty freaky.
Perfect.
So when I was younger, do you guys remember the Razer phone? The square ones that everyone thinks is so cool?
Oh, yeah, I had one. It was so cool.
Yeah, so cool.
So
one cool. Drop, one drop away from fucking self-destructing.
Yeah.
So I was playing with my toys. I was maybe 8 or 9, and I used to record wrestling kind of stuff going on, you know, like WWE or Raw, whatever.
Yeah.
And I was recording once, and I had a mini grappling hook for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Nice.
And as I was recording, it was being picked up and swung around. And there was nobody there. So, yeah, that's the story.
What was that?
Yeah, we lose him? That.
We lose you?
It was picked up and twirled around. Nobody was there.
Oh, the grappling hook did.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that really weird and stuff? I don't know, what it was about or whatever. I tried to tell people and they really believed me. But it was really freaky, and I've never forgotten it since.
So, It moved. It was picked up and moved on its own.
On its own.
Did it?
Isn't that crazy? I didn't even catch it on camera. I wish I did.
Was it how far did it move? What was the action like?
Very far. A foot off the ground. It was really freaky, man. I was terrified when I was a kid.
So it looked like it was just picked up by nothing.
It didn't do anything. By nothing.
It just kind of floated off the ground.
Whirled around.
And twirled. Yep. Like someone was about to throw it. Like someone was whipping it around, about to chuck it.
Yeah, dude. It was freaky. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it.
Fuck. Now,
dude, I don't know, man. I couldn't wrap my head around it.
What what kind of grappling hook? Was it actually a legit metal grappling hook?
No, it was a piece of black string. Yeah, black string with the plastic at the end of it.
No,
that's a Toys R Us exclusive, man.
No, metal as in metal as in it was rigid, or was it plastic? You could just bend it and break it. How heavy
it was plastic,
it?
What toy has a metal?
I get what you're trying to say.
I don't know. I'm asking.
Yeah, man. Maybe I did have one, but not. Yeah, it was freaking freaky. I can't really. The house wasn't haunted. I never experienced anything like that before.
That you know of?
It was so out of this world. Yeah, that I know of, you're right. It was really out of this world. Yeah, I just thought I could share that with you guys. I've been wanting to, I just haven't gotten around to it. I have you guys
What do you think it was?
What were you gonna say?
What do you think it was? The grappling hook was lifted off the ground with nothing around.
There's nothing else I can say. It must be some paranormal shit, man.
Yeah.
Kind of messed with kids.
fucking with the kids.
Yeah. For all I know, though, it could have been in my head. Like I said, I was maybe I made it up and believe it's real, but it seems real to me.
Well, I mean, if it actually came off the ground that far and you're like nowhere close to it.
It was legit. I was in the middle of like making pizza, freaking flipped on Tina. And that shit happened.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a
yeah, man. It was crazy. I don't know. I never had anything like that happen.
Nothing happened since?
Nope. I mean, other than that, like other stuff I shared with you guys last time, that was dream related. It wasn't real anything crazy like that. It's the only thing I could think of that's happened to me like that before.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you're the one to see it. So if like it lifted off the ground and you couldn't explain it, I don't know. Crazy story.
I tried to tell my mom and she thought I was bullshitting her.
That's the easy way to deny something.
You're just making this up.
She's like, yeah, it's nothing. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, pretty much what she said.
Yeah, that's the easy way to dismiss something. Like, oh, you didn't see it. You're making it up or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. That's a crazy story.
All right, guys. Well, I'll let you go.
We're going to take one more call for the night. Cheers, but we appreciate it. Thanks for calling back.
No problem.
Have a good night. Boom. Okay, I think, we're approaching an hour here, so this might be the last call unless it's a short one, but let's bring them on the line. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
It's me, Lucky Number Henry. I am back again.
Henry's back, brother.
Woo! Henry's back. Twofer.
So I thought I'd get the gruesome twosome, squeeze in that, or at least one of the ghost stories I've got, more paranormal related.
Sure, let's hear it.
Okay, so this one takes place about 8 years ago. I was probably right around the age of 12. And I'm at my family house, same one where the UFO story took place. And it's early morning. My sister had some friends over, and for some reason they were having a sleepover in the garage in a tent. Because apparently that's something fun to do in the garage.
Sure.
And there is a side door to the garage, and then there's one door up a set of steps that goes into the laundry room, actually inside of the house. And right when you get to the top of those stairs is the hole to the attic. And it has a cover, but it's never really been covered. So, you know, just walking up the stairs, if you go through the garage, you can see straight up into the attic and, you know, you can totally go up there and stand in there. So it's a big space. And so being the little punk that I was, I wanted to, you know, screw around with my sister and her friends who got, you know, maybe 4 years on me. And I sneak in through the side door and it's opened up enough where, you know, some sunlight is leaking in and it's like maybe 10 o'clock in the morning. And I go over and I start rattling the tent and, you know, just screwing with them. And they figure out pretty quick that it's me because I'm not the brightest kid. And out of the corner of my eye, I see some movement coming from the corner of the garage where the steps are and the attic is, the attic entry. And I kind of freeze up. And I stopped talking, and my sister's still yelling at me to leave and stop bothering her. And I start turning my head to look where that motion is, and I catch something hanging from that entry hole. And it is very like low definition, so it doesn't have any details to it, but it very clearly, in the same way, is still arm-like. And it's pure white, so as white as can be. So it's not like a beam of light coming in where you can see, you know, the contrast on the wall or shadows and things like that. It's like a solid white object that is about the length of a grown man's forearm and then the hand. But the hand being so, you know, low definition is kind of cone-shaped. And all I can see, you know, I'm kind of paralyzed. I guess I was paralyzed in fear because I didn't know what it was, but it was bobbing back and forth in a super consistent motion, just dangling ever so slightly out of the hole. And it was just the forearm's length and the hand part that you could see. And so my sister, not knowing what was going on, was like, Henry, why'd you stop talking? And I just book it out of there. And not even like 20 or 30 seconds later, after I had ran around the side of the house and gotten in from the patio, all the girls, you know, the four of them or however many there was, screamed and came barreling into the house in the same manner because they saw it too. This kind of turned into like my mom and my uncle and my grandpa were all trying to figure out what was going on. And they would go into the garage and turn the light on and it would go away. And within, you know, a few seconds of turning the light off, they would start seeing it again. So it really had them confused because it was super defined. Like it was very clearly a solid object. And a little background being that, you know, I was raised in a pretty Catholic family, but I separated from that on my mom's side. We separated, divorced, all that biz. But we weren't raised super religious. At the start we were, but we never were like super, you know, devout Christians or anything like that. But we always had these encounters that kind of made us think, well, something else has to be going on here. And I don't know, you know, going into spirits and stuff, we still live pretty close to a cemetery. It's like maybe a 3-minute walk, and it's the biggest cemetery in our city. And so I've kind of always played that off as like, well, I mean, we're not that close, but we are pretty close. So I don't know if I was able to like mentally chalk that up to all that stuff. But going back to the hand thing, it was kind of a big deal because nobody could figure out what it was. And then all of a sudden it just stopped appearing. And there's only one light source in the attic itself. There's a skylight. And it's on like the far end of the attic. So you have to go a good like 50 feet down the walkway up there to even get to it.
Right.
So I kind of wrote it off as like, no, it's not an optical illusion, but I don't know what else it could be. And being as young as I was, you know, 11 or 12, I might've even been 10. I think the adults in my life at the time, you know, they kind of stopped talking about it. And I wanted to keep pressing because I was like, hey, I know what I saw. And I know that like, you know, 6 or 7 or 8 other people have seen it too. What is it? And they'd kind of brush it off and avoid the question because I don't think they even wanted to talk about it because they didn't know what it was either. And we had a lot of situations growing up where we've heard people in our attic, like very defined footsteps, somebody walking around. And, you know, my uncle and my grandpa have come over guns blazing, trying to figure out, you know, thinking someone is, you know, camping out upstairs or, you know, hiding in the walls. but there's just a lot of weird stuff that's gone on, both, you know, seeing UFOs, but also definitely paranormally activated kind of stuff. And, you know, I'm not one to draw conclusions quick, but that's why I've held on to these stories that I have, because it's totally like, well, even the adults can explain what the heck was going on. And that really speaks volumes to me. And I think that's why this one in particular really stuck with me too.
For sure.
So when you're the adults at the time, when they went in to go look at this object, they turned the light on and off multiple times, or what did you say? They just turned the light on and then it disappeared. Then they turned the light off and they come back.
I was only in there one other time, because I was scared, you know, shitless about it all. But I was there to see, you know, we were at the entryway on that side door where there's a light switch. And we could see it dangling. I was with my uncle and my mom, and you turn the light on and it would stop. And so they tried to, you know, at least rationalize it to us when they did give us a reason as an optical illusion. But being as old as I am now and, you know, realizing that, hey, there's only one light source and it's on the opposite side of the attic, it just doesn't line up. And I think that's, you know, how they.
So it stopped moving or it disappeared?
No, it like completely disappeared. So it would go from like a moving object that clearly had mass to just not existing when the light would come on.
And the girls were able to describe this thing pretty clearly, or, you know, they had similar descriptions of what you were seeing as well.
Oh, yeah. They saw the exact same thing, because I guess, you know, just having that side door open and having some light leaking in the opposite direction of the attic wasn't enough for, you
so,
know.
So just to get a clearer picture of what you were seeing, so you said this thing, was this thing giving out its own light, were you saying, in the dark, or was it just like?
Well, it was a really pure white. So it was a solid object, but it was like, you know, a very solid white as well. So it was pretty easy to see. And, you know, I kind of laugh at it because the only thing that I can chalk it up to is like the hand shape reminded me of like a snow cone. So every time I'm talking about this, you know, like same proportions and everything, but attached to, you know, like a grown man's forearm in terms of size and shape. But
right.
Very obviously had some sort of joint on it because it was swinging back and forth too. So it looked like it had weight to it.
Huh. Crazy story.
Interesting
story. Yeah. I think we're gonna take one more call for the night. But thanks for giving us the two calls tonight. We appreciate it.
That's dope. Thanks, Henry.
Awesome. Thanks, you guys. Have a great night.
You
pleasure
too.
Talking with you.
Cheers, brother.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Ghosts and UFOs. God damn. All right. Last call of the night. And we got to end it. I know open lines are popular. So we're going to have more. I think we're having two a month. Two open lines a month? Something like that.
There's two this month. So
another one at the end of the month. Last Sunday of the month.
All right. Last call of Cosmic Channels 2.7. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I was the one that put in the Twitch that I've got a paranormally activated story for you guys.
Ah, nice. You made it in. Right on. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm Chris from Denver. I've called you guys before.
Oh, yeah.
With
yep.
the drones and the airport and everything.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a few parts to the story, actually. So I'll start off with, like, a while ago. So my son, he's 3, about to turn 4. And he calls his grandma, grandma, just basic like that.
Yep.
Well, one day he comes out of his little bedroom playroom thing and he's talking about how he's been talking to Grammy and he's playing with Grammy and Grammy's playing with him and everything like that. And we're like, okay,
put him up for adoption.
He's Grammy. Like, he's talking to we're like, who's Grammy? Like, grandma's at work. He's like, no, not grandma, Grammy. So we were like, okay. So my wife texted her mom and said, hey, do you know who Grammy is? And she said something along the lines of, well, one of our relatives' kids called my mom Grammy. And so we were like, okay, that's you know, pretty weird. So he's done that quite a few times. We've kind of accepted it. And then me and my wife have weird stuff that goes on around the house. Like something will go missing and we're like, all right, hey, can we get the TV remote back or can we get the Xbox controller back or whatever? And then no lie, like 2 days later, it'll show up in a spot that it never should have been.
So random.
So yeah, so like that weird stuff. But the actual paranormal activation part of it was last night. So I hopped in the shower. And my wife was in the bathroom doing something, and like one of our other bathrooms. And I was sitting there listening to music, singing along. And when I would sing, it would sound like somebody was singing with me. So I was like, babe, are you in here? And nothing, no reply. So I was like, all right, whatever. I'd start singing again, and I would hear it. And it wasn't like the acoustics or echo of the bathroom or anything, because I sing in the shower all the time, so I know like what the reverb and everything sounds like.
Yep.
And it was like a woman's voice singing along with me. And then my wife comes in the bathroom, whatever, and I tell her what happened. I'm like, yo, like somebody was in here singing with me. She's like, are you fucking with me or are you being serious? I was like, no, I'm being 110% serious. Like somebody was in here singing with me, singing along to some Co Wetzel, like getting it in and maybe not 30 seconds after that, we heard someone cough in our bathroom.
No.
Like an audible human cough.
Well, we had a listener earlier already say what you should do now, and that's just move. Just leave.
Pack the house. Get the fuck out.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, I wish that was an option because it would make a lot of our aspects of our life easier. But it was such a bizarre thing. And we've also had other weird stuff go on around the house. Like, we've been in the kitchen and we'll hear something drop in one of the bathrooms and we'll go in there and there's something just sitting on the floor, or vice versa. Like the other night, we were sitting in the bedroom. We were actually watching a Canucks game.
Nice.
And dog just started going berserk in the living room, just barking. And he has a very distinctive bark when there is someone near the house that shouldn't be near the house.
Okay.
So I was like, okay. Yep. So I grabbed my pistol and I start walking around the house. I go look outside, nothing. And my dog is sitting there like pointed to the kitchen. And then we have a couple cats. And one of my cats will sit there and look at a random spot in the ceiling, and he won't look afraid, but he'll look like he's looking at something that we don't see. And it's just the most bizarre experiences.
No kidding. Huh.
Sounds paranormally activated, man.
I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I've had quite a few ghost what I would assume are ghost encounters in my time, but those couple that I just told y'all about were some of the ones that stood out the most,
right?
Because they were just like, because, you know, a lot of them happened when I was younger, so I'm like, okay, maybe I'm just a kid with ADHD making shit up. But it's like, now I'm like, there's no way that this stuff is just in my head, because my animals are reacting to it. My son's talking about Grammy, who passed away in 92.
Right. Fuck.
Like, he was born in 2017. It's the craziest stuff.
That's fucked up. That's all I could say about that one.
Pretty spooky.
Yeah. In the chat, a perfect location for Ouija.
Invite you boys over if you want to come do some Ouija in the house. You know, I'll have some ice cold beer waiting for you guys.
Perfect.
A game queued up. We can do some Ouija in the house. Get my son involved.
Oh, kids would make it way more paranormally activated.
I'm hanging out with a kid. I'm not playing.
Yeah. And then
you can have
y'all have a quick second. I actually have a kind of a bizarre Ouija story for you guys. Quick though.
Sorry, man. Just save that one. We're already well over time tonight, but save that one for the next one.
Next week is paranormal, so this will be perfect.
Yep. Save it for next week.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, I'll call in next week and tell you all this story.
Sounds good, brother. Thanks. Have a good night.
Cheers, man.
Yeah. Y'all have a good one. Go Canucks.
Hell yeah.
Woo!
Right on, man.
Next week, we got paranormal or paranormally activated, whatever you want to call it. We want your paranormal stories next Sunday. Some people are asking in the chat, what's with the mask? What's with the hat? If you don't know, we also record Dungeons & Dragons exclusively on our Patreon, patreon.com/alientheorists. Podcast, and we were recording Dungeons and Dragons right before we recorded Cosmic Channels tonight. So if you you want to hear us play Dungeons and Dragons, you can get on our Patreon. We've got about 13 episodes, as well as it's got to be 150 plus hours of bonus content now.
A lot.
It's insane. I will go ahead and say that we have more Patreon content than any other show I know.
Probably. Maybe not some of the really big ones, but any other indie podcast, we're up there.
We're up there.
We are up there. All right. So next week, we got paranormal. Week after, did we decide? We got another open. Is that last
that's
Sunday?
That's another open lines.
So paranormal, open lines. Find Cosmic Channels on Facebook and now Instagram. Just search for Cosmic Channels. You can't miss it. All right. Thanks, everyone. Peace.
Woo.
Cosmic Channels is brought to you by Big Theory Productions. The Cosmic Channels are now closed.